episode 8. Welcome to Double Bubble with Girk and Keek.
That's right. Welcome to episode 8.
Yeah. Didn't I just say that?
Yeah, you did.
I did. Okay. Well, anyway, apparently
it's a weird
now,
day. It's a weird day.
We've reinforced to everybody that this is episode 8. Okay, it's Wednesday. We're recording on Wednesday, the 13th of August. This will go up Monday, the, I don't know,
whatever
17th
Monday
or 18th.
Yeah.
Right. So 2 days ago, Robin Williams killed himself.
He did. Apparently, it sounds like he hung himself with his belt.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, it's not apparent anymore. I think it's actual fact.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't, you know.
I mean, it's not like he's got to go to court proven, you know, in the jury law that he did or did not. He did, according to the police and the whoever in Marin County, he did. So anyway, big bummer for me. I don't know about you.
We can definitely, you know, pay tribute to the brilliant comedian.
And that's really where I wanted to go with it. I didn't really want to get too much into the discussion of depression and sadness because
this is
a comedy show. But what I wanted to say,
it is
for
a comedy
me,
show, and I think I might have just burped when you were talking about how sad it was. So sorry.
Well, that's comedy. The reason I wanted to bring it up is because it was he was such an influence on me growing up. I posted this on Facebook personally, but, you know, when I was a kid, I wanted to be Nadia Comaneci after the 1976 Olympics.
Yeah, who didn't?
Yeah. That wasn't in my wheelhouse. That wasn't,
no.
You know, a round off is about the best I could do.
No, and you need to be, like, teeny and elfish. I think all those girls are, like, 4 feet tall with no periods.
Right. Well, they have no periods because they work so hard that they have dysmenorrhea. But anyway, so I decided...
dysmenorrhea. Whatever.
Yeah. Well, that's... Okay, maybe, Keek, you should look that up. Maybe that will be a word for you to learn
Listen.
This week. Dysmenorrhea.
Again, don't use your Keek as a dumbass tone with me. I know what dysmenorrhea means, fucker.
But yet you can make fun of me because I
because
have
who
a superfluous
uses dysmenorrhea
vocabulary.
In a sentence in their everyday life.
I have a superfluous vocabulary.
Superfluous vocabulary, blah, blah. I'm Girk, I show off because I'm so smart.
Okay, now you're acting like a child. There you go. Okay, can we get back to my life and Robin Williams?
Sorry. Yes, Robin Williams was our inspiration. We met doing improv, by the way. I know.
Exactly.
We met doing improv back in the 90s, the early 90s. We met in the early 90s doing improv. Was it mid? Mid-90s.
Yeah.
Doing improv. And I think that's why I definitely can pay homage to the sheer genius improviser that Robin Williams was. Because, oh my God, that... I was terrified of doing improv. And as an actor, you have to be able to. And so I signed up for that class just out of like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to rip the Band-Aid off. I'm going to go take this class. I'm going to do it for a while. And then I'm going to say, I did that and I'm never going to do it again. But it definitely was life-changing. Improvising is a skill that everybody needs, whether you're an actor or not. You need it.
Yeah. So going back to, since I realized that I couldn't be a world-class gymnast, I had been seeing reruns of I Love Lucy, and I thought that was phenomenal, and a woman that was so funny. And then, you know, seeing Gilda Radner on Saturday Night Live and Madeline Kahn in Blazing Saddles, and then this crazy Robin Williams and Mork and Mindy and just the goofiness. And it kind of inspired me to be that wacky part of myself, because I think all comedians kind of had it tough when they were kids and growing up, and that's why they just go to that place to be funny.
Yeah.
And so I know that in my little personal story, that was where I went because, you know, of other aspects of my life as a kid, being funny was so much easier than being the other things.
I was super shy and we moved a lot because my dad was in the Navy and also just from, you know, moving. And my parents divorced and I had to move to California at junior high, which is so awful. And I went from, you know, having a lot of friends to knowing no one at that super awkward, dorky braces. I was a total dork. And that's how I fit in. I realized really quickly that if you made people laugh, it didn't matter what clique they were in. They thought you were cool if you could make people laugh.
Yeah, if you made people laugh, they didn't tell you you were fat and they didn't tell you that you were ugly and they didn't tell you a whole bunch of other things.
Yeah.
So I started doing improv, I think it was like early in high school. And that was kind of, like I said, so Robin Williams and all others like him, Jonathan Winters, who was his idol, Lucille Ball, who was a complete improviser, doing the stuff that she did, as well as, you know, like I said, Madeline Kahn and Gil Lorenzo kind of were my inspiration for doing what I do and what I've been doing for most of my life. So on that, I'd like to just say thanks, Robin Williams, for the cool things that you showed us that we can all do, even in the greatest of despair, as well as his dramas, which I thought were really fucking cool. So on that note, we will move forward. But I'd like to go forward with this quote from The Fisher King. Robin Williams' character says, "There's three things in the world that you need: respect for all kinds of life, a nice bowel movement on a regular basis, and a navy blazer." So I'm going to take that quote and we're going to move forward into some inventions that I saw this week. One of them is called the Squatty Potty.
Squatty That's right. Potty?
The Squatty Potty. What is that, you ask?
Yes. Well, what is that, I ask?
We're really, really, we're pooping wrong.
Oh.
Did you know that? We're really not meant to sit on a toilet.
And when we sit wait a minute.
We're meant to squat when we shit.
Oh, you know what? That makes sense, because if you're squatting and you're using all that, it would really, like, the force of just squatting would push it out like some sort of a missile.
Well, yes. if missile poop is what you're seeking, yes, I guess it would do that. But what it does is this squatty potty, it elevates your feet because your knees should be above your hips. Then you assume the...
When you do... hang on. I have to do this while you're talking about it.
Do it.
Something about... It's a visual. Okay, so your knees are above your hips.
Right, and since you're on the floor, you don't... So, and you want your feet to be like a little wider, like, than shoulder width. Okay. Like, and so that your abdomen is being pressed between your legs. So like you're in this natural squat position.
Okay.
And you want to lean slightly forward, but without hunching over.
Okay.
When
like
you
frog.
Do...
I feel like a frog.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
When you do that, you have fully relaxed your puborectalis muscle, and that's opening your colon. But when we sit on the toy,
yeah, you know what? It does. It really does. It's actually way more relaxing than I thought it would be, and it really does kind of open everything up. And you know what? I think the Japanese have it right, because when I was in high school, I went to Japan for a dance competition, and we. In the city, they had toilets, but when we would drive across country, we would drive like through the countryside and you'd stop at the rest stop to go to the bathroom. And I walked in the stall like, I don't understand who stole the toilet. Where's the, what's happening? Like, it was literally just a hole the size of,
cool.
I don't know. No. I mean, it wasn't a big hole, but it was literally like maybe 6 inches around hole.
Yeah. You don't need a very big hole. You don't want to fall in it.
Yes. No, but I mean, you got to have some alignment happen in there. But I mean, you could definitely get a good... I looked at it and thought, how the fuck am I supposed to poop in that? But yeah, I guess if from the position that I was just in, that would actually be perfect alignment for poopage.
Well, and then, I mean, and I get it. So I'm still quite comfortable having a toilet, because Lord knows that if you have EAD, do you know what EAD is?
Erectile.
No.
Asshole dysfunction.
No. It is explosive acidic diarrhea.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That EAD. Sounds really uncomfortable.
Okay, so think about that. You want to be squatting over a hole when that happens?
Wait, you have that?
Shit goes everywhere.
You have EAD?
Not right now.
Like this very second?
No. Not now. Oh, come
Wait,
on. You haven't had like
explosive?
A... You
have... What makes it explosive? Is it like a splattering?
Did you not just talk
effect?
About like a missile shooting out of your ass? Have
well,
you
yeah,
never
I
like eaten...
I was talking about hard. I wasn't talking about like... Is it... Why is it explosive and acidic? What's, I don't understand.
You've never like had a shit that was like just shot out of you and then burned your asshole?
The shooting, yes, but the burning, no. Why is it
really?
Why is it burning?
Well, the acid from the excrement, the stuff that comes out, the poop. Oh my God, come on.
I've had diarrhea, trust me, plenty of times, but I've never I've never had anything burn my asshole as it comes out. I even got hemorrhoids when I had Dylan from all the pushing.
Oh, good for you. Well, aren't you? No, aren't you one in?
No, because you'd think I you know, if anything would burn, it would be like wounds on your anus. But episode was all about the ass, but this one apparently is going there too. But I know I've never had anything burn. Even when I had hemorrhoids, nothing burned.
Okay, well, you're very lucky then, because most people that I know, every now and again, when they eat something that disagrees with them, whether it's garlic or lactose or whatever, has that moment where they have urgencies to go to the bathroom and they've gone 3, 4, 5 times. And by that time, their poor little asshole is so raw from all the acid, from all the liquid poop that's coming out that it's called, we just call it EAD.
Oh.
Yeah. But I'm really glad that that has not happened to you, because you don't need to be part of that team. In any case, that's why I think toilets are really good. So, however,
we've taken a turn early on in this one. Go. Okay, go. So tell me about the squatty potty.
I am like, you don't even know. I am navigating this ship and I am turning the rudder so hard. And you're the one that's like, what? I've never. And
no, because you're the one who always says, oh, wait, I'm visual. I need to understand this. Hang on. So the squatty potty is being marketed to what, to everybody? Like, is it a movement? Everybody. A movement, as it, no pun intended. Is it a movement to like change toilets across America, like in restaurants and in?
I don't know, but
restrooms and
their tagline is "Happy colon, happy life." And you know, Keke, I think it's important that I share with you what some of the people who've been using the squatty potty have to say.
Please. I need to hear the testimonials.
The darn thing works instantly. Folks, my son Todd sent me a squatty potty for my 66th birthday, and I thought to myself, what kind of a birthday gift is this contraption? Living 65 years on my own, I thought I was going just fine. How mistaken I was. I don't think I can live another day without it. It's absolutely amazing. The darn thing works instantly. Thank you for making my life so much more pleasant. 3 cheers for the squatty potty. And that was from Susan.
Is Susan from Wisconsin? You just gave
it was just how she wrote it. So I write the date, folks. Folks, my son sent me.
Folks, listen, folks.
There's another one. So,
wait, what kind of son would send his mom a toilet? Is it specifically meant for people who are backed up? Does it help with constipation?
Well, that's where we're going. Hold on one. Oh, boy.
Here's my thing. While you're looking up the next testimonial, I'm all about the squatty potty, but then they're going to have to come up with, you know how they have the little toilet seat ring things where you put, they're going to have come up with something for the floor, because who wants to put their hands on the floor in a public restroom?
Oh, well, this squatty potty thing is like, it's like a stool. So it goes in front of your toilet and you put your feet on it. So it's like 7 inches.
Oh, I thought it was a new toilet. I thought it was like a whole new design for a toilet.
No. No. No.
Well, it is actually a picture. I haven't seen the picture.
We'll put a picture up when we do this. So imagine like a step stool.
I was imagining like, you know, when you walk through the mall and you see those massage chairs?
Yes.
I was imagining they had like a new design for a toilet that was kind of like those massage chairs where you just kind of like fit your knees into it and it's just like a hole in the back.
Right.
Okay. So go ahead. Explain to me what it looks like. The stool has what?
There's a bamboo one and there's a white one. And the white one's like $24.99 and like the bamboo one's like $64.99. So it's depending on the height of your toilet and depending on how high you want to get your legs up, there's a 7-inch riser and a 9-inch riser. So imagine like a step stool or, you know, a footstool rather in front of your toilet and you literally put your ass in the toilet and then you put your legs on either side where the, you know, your little footprint things go and there you go. So there's no effort. You're still using a regular toilet.
Hmm. That would be awkward if you were traveling, like, and you were, you know, in a restaurant and you were going cross country and you were just like, hang on, I got to go get my squatty potty so I can go to the bathroom in the public restroom.
You know, I think when I travel, I might forego the squatty potty. I think, I think I might be okay.
This is one of those contraptions that you're going to get addicted to. And then you're like, I can't take a shit without the squatty potty. So it's going to have to be, you have to buy a couple of them and have one in the trunk of your car and have, and then you're going to be at work.
Okay.
You're going to need to have the squatty potty with
that
you.
That would be awesome to see someone Ted's, like with underneath their arm.
Ted's doing his 3 o'clock shit, everybody, as he walks like past the conference room and past everybody else's offices with his squatty potty under his. That could be the commercial. We need to write it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm seeing that it's really good for people with hemorrhoids. Mm. I'm seeing a lot of hemorrhoid people in here.
I don't have those anymore. I don't have those anymore. Why would you need a squatty potty if you had hemorrhoids?
Because you're not pushing so hard. You get your hemorrhoids get exacerbated when you're straining. You should never strain when you make stool.
When you make big potty.
Okay, speaking of... Have you ever heard the term stooling? As opposed to pooping, stooling, right? It's called stool. Doctors call it stool.
No. Who calls it stooling?
My doctor calls it stooling.
And did it take you a second to figure out what the hell he was talking about when he first said it?
Well, it's a woman. It's a woman. No, but okay, so I was called into jury duty a couple years ago. I'm sorry. And, you know, from time to time, I mean, I have IBS, you know, sometimes.
That goes back to the EAD?
Sometimes it's EAD and sometimes it's constipation. But so I thought the whole thought of, you know, I certainly want to do my civic duty, but I think they would be really pissed off if I went, oh, I got to go. Guys, defense lawyers, judge, I got to go.
And then you'd pick up your squatty potty and you'd be like, kunk, 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 as your squatty potty just like...
So I was faced with going to this jury duty, and I knew that I wouldn't be able to do it, if you will. So I went to my doctor, and she wrote me a note to excuse me from serving. And
I'm sorry, Your Honor. Gert cannot serve today due to her massive bowel issues.
No, that's not what the letter said.
What did it say?
I think it said, you know, please excuse Gert from fulfilling any jury duty stuff. Due to excessive stooling. I read it and I started laughing right in her office.
That is mortifying. That is mortifying. Like, did the judge just look at you like, I'm sorry,
why the judge? Why would the judge look at me? I sent it in with my jury duty slip and I've never heard of it.
Oh,
since.
I thought, well, because sometimes they actually make you go and you have to give your excuse to the...
Not if it's a one-time deal. When you call in, you know, like
so you know, when you mailed that in, everybody, all the clerks that are going through all the paperwork were probably laughing their asses off.
If they knew what it meant.
Excessive stooling.
If they knew what that meant, maybe they're like, maybe some people don't know what stooling is. They're like, oh, she got something wrong with her pancreas. You know what I mean? Like, how would you, if you, you know,
I'm gonna guess the clerks that are going through the jury duty forms probably aren't up there enough to be thinking that there's something wrong with your pancreas. I mean, maybe they just were so confused. They were like, fuck it. We're not even going to bother with this one. Look at this one. Hey, Marge, come here. Look at this letter. You're not going to believe this.
What if it's like, what if they have like a room with all the fucked up excuses that they get for people trying to get out of jury duty?
Yours is in a fucking like frame. Right, yours is framed on the wall in somebody's office down at the courthouse.
Oh my God. That would be so embarrassing. What if I'm like at a party and someone hears my name and they're like, oh yeah,
wait,
I work for the.
You're
I work
Gert?
For the county.
Are you Gert? Oh my God! Can I take a picture with you?
Oh, we were laughing
never
for
believe
hours.
It. They're never going to believe this back in the office. Let me get my photo with you.
Hey, this is the woman who has excessive stooling.
Please, we've been dying. We've been trying to figure it out for years. What the fuck is that?
I totally
you got a stool coming out of your ass like a physical like wooden stool. Yes,
I could be the face of Squatty Potty.
Or the face of the medical posters for excessive stooling.
Oh my God. It's just so, that's so, I'm so embarrassed by that. That's so embarrassing. But it worked.
Well, if you ever do get called in for jury duty, then you're going to have to go to the bench and you're going to, when they say, does anyone have any excuses and they take you in the back room, you're going to have to say, Your Honor, I shits me a lot. I got to go.
No. And it doesn't happen all the time. It's not like every day I'm like, oh crap, I gotta go.
Yeah, but you know what? If I had a letter like that on file, I would use it every possibility I got to get out of jury duty.
But it's on file. Like I'm permanently done. Like I'm now on the do not call list. for jury duty. I don't have to do it again because I have a medical excuse. So, okay, so anybody out there who may not have a legitimate stooling issue,
if you have a doctor good to know, friend.
If you have a doctor friend and you permanently want to get out of jury duty, say you shit a lot. They don't want you.
Tell them you got the shits a lot, like a lot of shitting.
And here's the thing, you know, my doctor knows it goes, IBS is a comes and goes, can happen at any time, whatever, whatever, whatever. Excessive stooling. I was like, you make it sound like I can't leave my house. Because, well, maybe that was her intention. Maybe that was the whole point.
Hey, she was trying to do you a solid. Cut her some
slack. A solid. There you go. Excessive stooling and a solid. Okay. In any case, so for those of you who are interested in the Squatty Potty, because I'm really reading some of this stuff, and it's pretty amazing. If that's of any concern to you at all, you know, I know people that are just like, oh, yeah, I poop, you know, twice a day, three times a day.
And never again, have a problem. What is Double Bubble? What are we?
A service announcement. Service
announcement. That's right. So there you go.
Yeah.
There's your public. And
I guess
service
this was on the doctor's. Yeah, I guess this was on the doctor's show and Dr. Oz, and apparently it's helping people with IBS and hemorrhoids and anyone who just wants an easy elimination. So there you go. Go to squattypotty.com. SQUATTYPOTTY.com.
Hey, they didn't pay us. What are you? Ugh.
No, but it's really interesting. Like, this is,
it is
again,
really interesting.
Public service announcement. I think I'm going to buy one. And after I do my pole dancing class, I will get back to you.
Oh,
on,
that's right. Have you not done it yet?
Work in progress. Work in progress.
What does that mean?
That S class that you were talking about isn't, it's in the city.
Okay.
And it's, I don't live in the city.
How far away is the city?
Well, depending on what time their classes are, it's not convenient to get to during the week. So, I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. I'm going to find, I know that there's a place out here that I'm going to check it out. And I know you want me to go to that S Factor one. So we'll see what happens. But
even
it is on my list.
Just go, even if you just go once, go on a weekend. You know, they have intro classes on the weekends. Go. They have classes all, classes all the time, mornings, afternoons, nights, weekdays, weekends, just to meet everybody's schedules. So go
all right. Well,
and
anyway,
check it out. Okay, so it's a work in progress. And so basically you have failed at your homework. So far, Girk has an F for her homework this week.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, that's where we're going with this. Okay, so again, check out the Squatty Potty, and I will get back to you because I know you're all going to want to know how it works. Okay, so then when I was coming across
are you
other
get
things,
one?
Yeah, it's really inexpensive.
Oh, this is going to be awesome! So
yeah, I have a serious
so
situation.
Going to buy one. You're going to buy a Squatty Potty, and then
I'll give you a testimonial.
We'll write our own testimonial. How's that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. How great would that be?
This is going to be good. This is going to be good.
While I was doing my podcast, I had an urge to eliminate.
Yeah.
I raced from my studio and went to the restroom. Thank God for the Squatty Potty. Because I only had a couple quick minutes. My partner was waiting for me. And typically, I don't have an easy elimination. I usually strain. But thanks to the Squatty Potty,
I myself in.
I lifted my legs right up and assumed the position. And you know what? You're right. Gravity was my friend. Thanks, Squatty Potty. Girk.
Love, Girk. Yep, awesome. Fantastic. Fantastic.
All right, well, folks, we'll get back to that. So as I was looking through other things, I don't know, have you seen this? It's called the wine rack. It's a bra.
A bra?
It is. Well, it's a bra. Let me read you the description.
Hold your boobs out like bottles of wine?
Well, you're close. Turn an A cup into double D's and sport your favorite beverage for yourself and your friends with the Wine Rack Flask Bra. Well, that's a tongue twister.
No.
Better than a
no,
boob
no.
job and cheaper, too. Not to mention the savings on overpriced drinks when you can sneak drinks in yourself. And as a bonus, with a simple blow into the wine rack tube, it's easy to keep that full look even as you drink from your secret stash. Okay, so think about it. Now, I can't get one. I am not able to purchase one for myself because it only allows for like from a 32A to 34B and 34C to 38C. And as we've discussed previously, I'm a little bit more buxom than that, but you could do it.
Wait, I could totally. Did you just call me small titty?
No.
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 I don't have small
titty. You just don't have the big girls like I do.
Small titty, but I don't have the big guns like you do. Wait,
Listen.
So here's the thing. Listen.
Let me tell you more about it.
How much is it?
There's two bladders. There's two bladders, right? One for each side. As I say this, as I'm touching my own boobs.
I know. I'm getting that. Yes. As you're rubbing.
One on each side. As I'm now touching my nipples. And they have, so bladder on each side, and you can put up to a full bottle of wine or 25 ounces of your favorite beverage.
A full bottle of wine?
Yes.
On each side?
No, in both. And then there's a drinking tube that you can, like, pull out. You know, like those Camelbacks, the water ones have?
Oh, Jesus,
where you, like,
no.
Suck on that?
No, fuck no.
Isn't that ridiculous?
No, okay, and then what happens when you empty it? Then all of a sudden you have, like, saggy tits in the front?
No, you blow back into it air, and you get the girls back. So you're never given away. So, like, let's say you deplete one bladder.
A white trash boob job?
Yes. It is exactly that. That is exactly why I knew I had to bring it to your attention. Because it is so, so, so white trash boob job. For only $29.95 plus shipping.
Wait, I can write a testimonial right
now. Free shipping. Please do. Go.
Thank you so much. What is it called? Wine rack. Thank you so much, the wine rack. My little A's, my boyfriend thought they were just little nibblers, and now he can suck on them all day long. You saved my life and the life of my boyfriend who was about to leave me. Thank you, the wine rack.
Oh my God. It's wrong. It looks like a sports bra, and then it's just wrong. So take a bottle of wine, a mixed drink, or even a fifth of your favorite hard stuff to the movies, concerts, ball games, even PTA meetings. This is so white trash boob job. Like, you're going to the PTA meeting and you're like, I can't fucking take these people.
Hey, Marge, come here. You want a little nip out of my tit? I can't take PTA bitches. They're pushing me off. Come here.
If I have to talk about that goddamn cakewalk one more time.
This goes back to what Superfan Tim was talking about. Because he offered to suck on titties. So I'll bet he'd really want to suck on your titty now if he knew that, like, whiskey was coming out of it.
Who wouldn't? This could really brighten up your bunko party, which is a good thing, because if you've ever played bunko, have you ever played bunko?
No, because I'm not 85 years old.
Okay, I did it for like... I did it for a benefit.
I got the stink eye. Your eyes look super green today, by the way.
Well, that's crazy because they're blue. So that's nutty, even more nutty.
They look really green.
Okay. Anyway, I was at a bunko event for a charity thing.
What is bunko? I don't even know what that
is. It's a dice game. Like, I didn't really know myself, but it's like a dice game. So you, like, keep rolling. It's like fucked up Yahtzee as far as I'm concerned.
Fucked up Yahtzee. it's craps for old people.
Anyway, I would definitely want to be lit if I was doing bunko on any kind of regular basis. And I say that with so much love because I do have a friend who's like, totally has, you know, bunko parties, but she is playing with the older set.
Yeah, I'll bet
my
she
girlfriend's
is.
Not.
I'll bet she
my
is.
Girlfriend's not that much older, but she's playing with women who've been like in the same club for 50 years, kind of thing.
Hang on. That's going to be us, by the way, with our poker girls. We have these same poker girls that we've been playing poker with for like 18 years. But listen, again, because of the visual, I am super confused because where does the there's no way to hide that you're sucking from juice from your tits. So where does the straw come out of? Does the straw literally like emanate from the nipple? So if a guy wanted to literally like suck him to your areola?
No, you're really overthinking this. I told you.
It comes up from where? It comes out from underneath your armpit?
Yeah, it looks like it comes up from the side and it's a long tube. Do you remember, you know, those Camelback water holders.
Yeah, but still, they it's coming out of your like, shirt, and it looks like you're sucking juice from your armpits.
It's ridiculous. If I owned a bar and I saw that, I'd be like, "Are you kidding me? Get out!
Get out! Get the fuck out!"
Are you kidding me, white trash boob job? What? Sporting the wine rack bra flask will even give Pamela Anderson a run for her money. What? This is how
because
they're marketing
here's
it.
Here's the thing. It's got to be made out of plastic with some sort of plastic liner. So not only are you giving yourself cancer from whatever the plastic carcinogen material is, but it's got to be plastic on the outside too. Because first of all, did you ever see the episode of Will and Grace where she had the water bra and she sprung
a leak? Yes, yes.
Except
yes.
Your leak is going to be like, you know, wine or whiskey. And then people are going to want to be sipping from the fountain. That would be hilarious. But not only that, it's a material that could easily like snag or break or pop. And if you're blowing it back up with air, it's basically like you just put two balloons. So if somebody bumps into you, if you're at a concert because that's what they're advertising it for, or a sporting event, and somebody bumps into you or you get jostled around or whatever, and one of them pops, I mean, and then when do you blow them back up? You just, you go, hang on a second. Hang on, honey. You're on a hot date and you just turn your back to him and go.
Okay, let's stop there for a second.
Don't overfill. Don't overfill it. You know that I'm always telling the kids, don't overfill. Pop! Don't overfill
that.
Okay,
wait a second. What kind of date are you going to be on that you need to have the wide rack bra flask in the first place? Because if your date is going to suck that much, and if you're
the kind of girl who would be wearing a wide rack bra.
Okay, it's first of all, it looks like a sports bra. And then these little bladders, I'm looking at the pictures while I'm talking to you. And then these little bladders, it's just, it comes out the side.
I think the kind of woman who would buy a wine rack bra is going to wear it on a date. Hopefully not a first date. But
ew.
I'm telling you, it's going to happen. And she's going to be out there. And all of a sudden, her date's going to want to know why she's A, loaded out of the middle of nowhere. And B, why, how she got hammered from drinking a Coke. And B, why all of a sudden her titties disappeared. But when she went to the bathroom and came back, she looked like Pamela Anderson again. And I'm going to guess that that material probably makes noise. So it's going to be like...
Well, you know what? And I think there's...
That squeaky sound that plastic makes.
I think there's only one way to find out.
We're going to have to order it. It's going to be like balloons. When balloons rub together...
I think you need to order it because, as we said, it will not fit me.
You think me and the itty bitty titty committee needs to order it?
I think you need to order it. And I think, let's just put this out there. You need to have it by September 12th for the poker party. I'm coming out to California. A little tease okay. We're going to be doing a live podcast. Well, it won't be live for you, but I guess they're all live because we are living, but we're going to be doing a podcast on Friday, September 12th when I am in Los Angeles. Woohoo.
Yeah, I'm writing this down because we're gonna attempt to record at our poker party, so we'll have guests. That might be the very first time that we have guests on the show. We've been talking about having guests, but we have to figure out the logistics of it, and so those will probably be our first guests, because you know what, it would be fitting that the bitches that we've been playing poon poker with for the last 18 years, because there's no swinging dicks allowed is our motto,
right.
Would be our first...
There's no unswinging dicks allowed either.
No unswinging dicks allowed either. And so, they would be our first guests. And I will do my best, because now I have homework, to order the wine rack bra by September 12th so we can all sip from Keek's titties.
Sporting a rack that will turn heads and serving a beverage that will have guys standing in line for a sip of your secret stash. Ew. There's like ew on so many... Hey, like, I want to go and be in some bar and be like, dude, you want to suck off my tit? Oh, I mean, like the drink. I mean, not really suck my tits, but I mean, like, here's the straw and here's some. Oh, isn't that funny? Ew.
No, because we already determined from the last episode from two episodes ago or whenever it was, that that's the come on line, right? Because that was the story, the BBC story that was going around was, you know, sucking on your nipples would reduce cancer. I think we debunked that one. So that can be your come on in the bar. You can say, would you like to help me reduce my risk of cancer? A, or... Would you like to...
get drunk off my tit.
Get drunk off my right one.
Okay. Anyway, so that is the... Again, this will be another service announcement because we will get this product.
I would like to know who's buying these and what kind of dates they're having. Because God knows we had some crazy freaking dates when I was online dating. And you always had the craziest fucking dating stories. That was before. And I got to tell you... Some of your doozies were from way before there even was online dating.
Yeah, no, I mean, some of it, they weren't even dates. the freaky happenstances of, oh my God. Well, I guess this ties into the wine rack and crazy date stories. I had this one experience.
Yeah.
And I call him Sleep Apnea Man. Mm. So,
this is
so let's
one.
Just... Yeah, let's just go there, I guess. So I was at the Super Bowl party, and I didn't know anybody. And it was when I was in California in the Hollywood Hills. So we were up in the hills.
Whose party
I went
was
with,
it? If you didn't know anybody, it was a friend of a friend?
Yeah. So I met this friend of mine and another friend. And if you ever seen the movie Swingers, it was like that. We all hooked up in all of our separate cars, drove up into the hills, went to this party. And it just so happened that it was kind of raining off and on that year. I can't even begin to tell you what year it was.
Oh, it was a long time ago. It was circa 1990 something.
Yeah, it was. So anyway, I was having a great time, totally boozing it up, having really so much fun. And I had seen this actor gentleman who I recognized from several movies. He's a character actor. And
one of them being a very, you know, famous 80s movie that everybody loves.
Now, that was a 90s movie, I think.
Was it 90s? Early 90s? Yeah. Late 80s, yeah. Early 90s. Yeah. Classic. Still a classic today.
Yeah. Anyway, and he also is an improviser, and he's from Chicago. So we struck up conversation, and really, really nice guy. Really nice guy. Really big guy.
Big guy. Like, yeah.
Like in height and stature. I mean, like a big guy.
Big and firm.
And I'm not a tall person by any means. So it was kind of this really kind of interesting thing because I'd have to be like, what? Because I couldn't hear him because he was so tall. Anyway, my friends left the party.
They left without you? They left you there?
Yeah, I'm a big girl. I was at this party. The game's over. People are still having drinks and hanging out and playing pool. And, you know, I continue to have this conversation. And I think he was a little enamored with the fact that I knew who he was. And because, again, he's a character actor. And I'm more excited about meeting character actors than I am about A-lister celebrities because I think we all are the same. But I really appreciate what character actors do because I think without them, the A-listers are nothing. So
sure,
anyway.
And he had done a lot back then. I don't know. I haven't seen him in anything in the last like decade or so. But yeah, he had done a lot back then. And I, by the way, cannot watch that movie now without thinking, oh my God, this sleep apnea guy. Oh my God, there he is. Wait, and then I tell the story to whoever's in like earshot.
Great. I'm sure he'd be really, really psyched that I now have it as a bit. In any case, it's getting really late and I decide that I'm going to leave. So I'm walking to my car and he follows me out. And at that point, I was getting the vibe of like, oh shit. Waka, waka, waka. He's going to want to make some moves on me. And I was like, oh crap. So I'm walking out and he says, hey, would you mind giving me a ride to my apartment? I'm just at the bottom of the hill. And I'm like, okay, yeah. And I'm like, well, great. I'll just drop him off. However, I get into my car and I realize that I shouldn't be driving, that I've had just enough where safety first really needed to be the better option. So that being said, I made a stupid decision and drove to the bottom of the hill, which was maybe, I don't know, a quarter of a mile, and literally into his driveway. Like it was a straight shot. And I pull in and I said, would you mind if I came in for a little while? I need not to. I shouldn't be driving. He goes, no, no, that's cool.
I just drove you to the bottom of the hill because, you know, whatever, but I really shouldn't be.
Well, it was when I was, you know, it was kind of like, you know how you.
It was back
like,
when we were young and stupid and we all did stupid shit like that.
Well, yeah, but it was also like, I mean, I'm not justifying drunk driving because I think it's wrong, but I'm just saying that when you get into the car and you start to drive and you're like, oh yeah, this isn't a good idea. This isn't a good idea. And so, like I said, thankfully nothing happened and I learned my lesson. But however, I knew enough to get out of the car.
Oh, you learned your lesson,
drive.
All right.
So I go in, now I go into this guy's place and it's in like this, I don't know, it's just in this complex and there's a concierge. So the guy's like totally checking me out going, who is this walking in with this guy? And I go into his place and he gives me something more to drink because that's what I needed. And he's like, you know what, you can sleep on the couch. And I'm like, you know what, that's probably a really good idea because it was probably 2 o'clock in the morning and it'd probably take a couple, you know, a good hour or two before I would sober up enough to drive. So I'm like, okay. And he was safe. I mean, I didn't feel uncomfortable with him at all. But now I want you to remember that I had been in the rain and that like, I'm soaked because we were kind of standing outside and it was just a kind of a messy day. So he says to me, hey, I wrote this screenplay. Would you take a look at it? And I'm like,
At
yeah.
2 in the morning, that's his come on line.
Yeah.
Hey, drunk girl that I just met. It's 2 in the morning. Would you like to read my screenplay?
Well, he was
Note
pretty
to
fucked up
self,
too.
listeners. Not a good come on line.
He was pretty fucked up too. Anyway, so I go and I read like a couple pages of his screenplay and it sucked. It was awful. It was really, really bad. And he goes, so what do you think? And I go, do you want the truth? And he goes, yeah. I go, it sucks. It's really bad. And I don't mean to be a bitch or anything, but it's just not good. And he's like, you are the balliest woman I've ever met in my life. And I can't believe how straightforward you are. And I really appreciate your this. And I'm like, you know, I'm in my 20s and I am just like not happy about this whole situation I got myself in. And I'm like, you know what?
I'm not happy I'm here, dude. Your screenplay sucks. How's it? Take that.
Give me another God bless and drink. So I'm like, dude, I need a shower. He's like, okay. So
hang on. Let's just for a moment realize what this must look like from his side. Because here you are from a woman's perspective. This is a difference between men and women. Men are very simple, in my opinion. They're like cavemen. It's all about eating, sleeping, drinking, fucking. Women, you know, you go into it thinking, I'm drunk. I need a place to sleep. Can I come in and sober up? Can I, you know, I'm wet, I'm cold. Can I take a shower? Now, from the guy's perspective, the guy is thinking, oh, you want to come up? Yeah, she wants to get laid. Oh, all right. You want to take a shower? Fuck yeah, this girl is ballsy. She wants to get naked. Let's go.
And I'm
that's
still
what
naive.
He's thinking. That's
I'm
that's
so naive still at this point, I guess.
That's awesome.
So I get,
that's
so awesome. He gives me, okay, now again, I told you how big this guy was. So he gives me his robe and I, to change into once because my clothes are wet too. So this robe is huge. Like it's dragging on the floor kind of long. And I get into the shower. And he's got one of those freestanding showers, so it's separate from the tub.
Yeah.
And I'm in there, and I'm showering, and I'm getting myself, you know, cleaned up, if you will. And all of a sudden, I hear the glass door open in the shower.
Of course it did. Of course it did, because there's a woman saying, I want a shower. I want. And you were probably going, hi, can I take a shower? And he was probably, in his mind, it translated to, can I take a shower? Let's go into the bathroom. I'm going to slip into something more comfortable and get naked. That's what he heard.
Well, so then he is in the shower and he's like, can I wash your back? And
wait,
I'm like,
so what? Wait. So you hear the glass door open and you didn't go, what the fuck?
I did. Of course I did.
And what did he
but
say?
I was still drunk. I was still drunk.
What the fuck?
I said, well, what's going on here? And he's like, well, I thought I'd just come in and shower with you. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, I don't know. I was like, okay. So he's like, can I wash your back? Because literally, I'm not going to turn around. I'm not trying to show off the wares. If he wants to see my hiney, that's great. But I'm like, not exactly wanting to be all fucking naked with him.
It must have been a huge shower if you had room to like stand forward and he had room with his.
It was one of those big freestanding like, showers.
Monster body.
Yeah. So he's behind me, and thankfully I didn't feel anything against me, which was nice.
Was he super furry? Was he furry?
I think so. I don't remember. I mean, yeah, he had hair on it, but I don't remember him being, like, furry.
Oh, okay.
So I'm standing there, and he starts, he's got this, like, loofah thing, and he puts soap on my back, and he starts scrubbing my back. And I go, dude, I am not a fucking baked potato. You don't need to, like, scrub me. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
He's like Lenny. He's like Lenny from A Vice in Bed. Soft. She's soft. As he's scrubbing your back like a potato. So soft. I could get you clean now.
I don't think I had any skin left in my back. I'm like, dude,
which,
take
by
it
the
easy.
Way, if you've ever been to the Korean spa, if you get a Korean massage and you do the Korean like scrub, that's exactly what it's like. They lay you naked on a big table, like no mood lighting, no nothing. And they take these harsh, like cat tongue loofahs and they scrub your body. They scrub all the dead skin off your body like a baked potato. And they do your whole body like 2 or 3 times. I personally, after, you know, the initial shock of the pain wears off, it was kind of awesome, but it's just like that. So if you're kind of into that thing, go to the Korean spa, but like a traditional Korean spa.
Okay, because there's so many of them around.
Yeah,
but maybe there is.
You have to get a good traditional one. It is kind of awesome. again, once you get over the shock of like, oh my God, that kind of hurts a little. And oh my God, I am bare ass naked. And she is scrubbing every part of my body. Every part. And just when you think there's not, like, she's not
another part to scrub.
Oh, a leg lifts. She'll lift, you know, she lit, like, they treat you like a rag doll. Your leg lifts up and she's getting up in the crevices with that loofah.
Because they don't care.
They don't give a shit. There's like these 60-year-old Korean woman talking to each other in Korean. And they're probably like, look at this one. She's so stupid. They're talking to each other in Korean. And their uniform, because it's all these women in a big room, in a big like wet room. There's literally like 10 tables, metal tables. And we're all totally naked. And all the little Korean women are all wearing black bras and black panties.
And okay.
Because they get wet.
What?
Because they get wet too. So they're in black bras and black panties. And they literally, you know, they're scrubbing, talking, talking to each other and scrubbing. And it's like bright, shiny light. And they just put a washcloth over your face because somehow when you're in the dark, it's like birds. You know how they have those birds where they put the towel over the cage and the birds will get quiet? It's
yes.
They treat you like that. They put a washcloth over your face. And when it gets dark, you're like, oh, I don't, now I'm not in a big white shocking room where I'm naked and everybody else is naked and it's weird. All of a sudden it becomes not weird.
Everyone's naked? How does that happen? How does the LA Vice let that happen?
This is just all women. I mean, there's no diddling going on.
All right.
It's Korean spas are so crazy. Put that on your list of homework. Go to a Korean spa.
Well, I might just have to go to one with you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When you come out here, we'll go. Because I haven't been since my girlfriend Sherry and I went years ago, and we could not stop laughing. We could not stop laughing. She went into the quiet room, and we couldn't stop laughing because she kept tooting.
Hilarious. That's an action-packed day.
It was an action-packed day. But anyway, so it reminded me of that when you said scrub like a potato, because I think that would be the only time I would ever want anyone to scrub me like a potato would be a 60-year-old Korean woman in a black bra and underwear.
I did not enjoy that experience of being in the shower.
With a total stranger who got in the shower uninvited and then started scrubbing you like a potato?
Uninvited. So that kind of ended. I'm like, okay, I'm done. And I really was kind of bitchy. I really, you know, like I was like, ugh, so over this whole thing.
Yeah, but you know,
I just wanted to be
calm. You know that's what guys like. He was probably so fucking turned on because you were just like telling him what to do and order him around. He was probably like had a little fantasy thing going on. Yeah.
And I can imagine that he probably maybe had never been with a woman in the shower before. Maybe. Maybe. Okay, so we get out, dry up, and I put on this ginormous robe that literally is like I'm wearing a queen's robe. Like it's dragging on the floor behind me. And he, I want to think I put my underwear back on. Maybe not. In any case, so now he's like, you know what? I have a king size bed. You're safe. You don't have to sleep on the couch. I'm like, okay. So I climb into this bed, which again, I literally feel like the Three Little Bears. So I crawl into this huge bed, you know, again, and it's like, this bed's too small. This bed's too big. This bed's just right. So, and this bed was really big. So I'm like, okay, I can just stay on like this little third of the bed and never accidentally brush
against him, never even remotely see him.
Right. So he comes into the room to see if I have everything I need. And he goes, do you want anything to drink? And I said, you know what? I could actually use some water. That would be great. So he goes, I'll be right back. Now it's got to be at least 3 o'clock in the morning.
I was just going to say, it's got to be like 4 at this point.
Yeah, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm just laying in this bed going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I can't believe that I'm in this position. So all of a sudden I hear this big thunk. And I'm like, holy crap, what's that? So I jump out of bed and I go racing into the guy's living room. And he's sprawled out on the floor because he went to sit on the back of the couch and flipped it over on top of him. I don't know why he went to sit on the back of the couch, but he flipped the couch because he's a big guy. He flipped the couch on top of him. So now I'm helping him get up.
Was he wasted?
Yeah, he's kind of drunk. We were both drunk.
But I mean, drunk enough to be like laying underneath the couch in the middle of the
night. No, at this point, I think it was just bad footing.
I have the same. I have this image of like all you see is couch with like a hand on either side and a leg on either side, but like no body, well, just like an arm.
You're not terribly off because the back of the couch flipped on him.
Did you laugh?
Yeah. Afterwards, I was, you know, not in his face. I mean, I was actually worried if he was still
You're
breathing.
Like, great. This is great. This is not exactly where
Can
I
you
thought
imagine?
My night was going to go. I was naked in a shower. Now I have a dead guy. Now I killed.
Could
the
you
guy. How
imagine
I explain
when I
this?
Exactly. Call 911. Yeah, this guy that I picked really up at a Super Bowl party. who scrubbed me raw like a baked potato. The couch fell on him, like the house in the Wizard of Oz just fell right on top of him. He's got appendages.
Ma'am, you have claw marks on your back. I know about that. Okay, hang
Listen,
on. It's not what it looks like.
It doesn't. Yeah, like, no. And wait. It's a loofah. They're not claw marks. It's a loofah.
It's a loofah. I cannot find the loofah right now, but
no. And it I clearly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything's good here. Nothing crazy here.
Nothing to see here, folks. Move on.
Just right could you
the
help
lot.
The guy with the couch
like,
on him?
I saw them come in. She looked shifty. I saw her come in. I thought when she came in that she was a prostitute. I knew she was only after one thing.
Because this guy's never with anyone.
He's never brought anyone home. He's never brought a girl home. We thought he was gay.
In the 15 years that I've been working here, I've never seen him coming with anybody.
Clearly she was a prostitute with a wine bra.
And she was wet and she was her clothes were hanging because they were soaking wet. Clearly, something is amiss here.
Something is amiss. Okay, so, okay.
Okay,
I've
so anyway.
I've heard story before, and I do not remember the couch. I love this.
Oh, God,
okay,
yeah.
So
the
he's
couch
underneath the couch.
Him. So I kind of lift the couch kind of off of him, and he gets up, and he's befuddled, and he's embarrassed, and he's whatever, and I'm just like, fucking, I'm going to bed. Like, I'm so not having this. So I crawl into bed. He crawls into bed. He tries to make a move.
Oh, of course he does.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah.
Again, let's go back to the story. Hot girl wants to come home with me. I didn't ask her to come upstairs. She asked me to come upstairs.
And she thinks I'm really funny.
Hot girl asked me to take a shower. I didn't ask her to get naked. She took all of her clothes off in my apartment. Hot girl then climbs into my bed. She said she was going to sleep on the couch, but she decided to climb into my bed.
Oh,
anyway.
No. I didn't say I was going to sleep on the couch. He said if I came up, he offered me his couch. I didn't make like this.
Hot girl climbed into my bed, probably naked. Were you wearing any clothes at this point?
Mm-mm-mm-mm. Just the robe.
Yeah.
But I think I was wearing the robe in bed.
Hot girl gets into my bed naked. So
with a robe on.
Like point A to point B to point C. He leads me to believe, yep, maybe I should make a move. Yeah.
So he makes a move, and he tries to grab my boobs, and then he's got his hand down by the pie, and I'm like pushing it away.
By the pie.
I'm pushing it away. I'm like, you know what? I'm really tired. Thank you. No, thank you. No, thank
Marie
you. No, thank you.
Marie Callender's closed this evening. Sorry.
And I remember he like put my hand. The fur ply is not available this evening for consumption. I see that was another big word, Kristen. Did you understand that?
I know what consumption means.
Okay. So I push his hand away. I push his hand away and he takes my hand and he puts it on his penis.
Oh, and?
Yeah.
Was it? I mean, he was a big guy, so how was the package?
Small. It was a brief visit there. Let's put that there. I pulled my hand instantly away. And I'm like, listen, you're a really nice guy and I'm really tired and we've been drinking and I'm done and I'm going to sleep. He's like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I hope it wasn't too forward. And he's a really nice guy. I hope it wasn't too forward. And you're really nice. And I hope you rest. Is there anything else you need? And blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, no, I'm good. Let's go to sleep. So we go to sleep. And I don't know. Maybe it's like 7:30, 8 o'clock. It wasn't very much sleep. And I wake up. And I hear. And I'm like, is fucking Darth Vader in this room? I mean, it was awful. Like, I'm like, what is going on? And I'm afraid to roll over because this noise is I've never heard it before. So I kind of do the soft rollover where it's like you're pretending you're still asleep because I don't want him to see that I'm awake.
You're afraid what you're going to see
when you roll over? Yeah. And I roll over and I thought it was Babar, the elephant.
Babar. Because this was way before The Dark Knight Rises where it could have been Bane.
Right, exactly.
We both know I must kill you now.
Right. My Bane.
That's very good. Because it could have been like that. It could have been like, thank you for coming and staying in my house. I will now kill you,
we both
girl
know
from the Midwest.
I must kill you now, sweet little girl, from the, sweet little prostitute from the Midwest who came back to my apartment.
If you thought that me scrubbing you like a potato was difficult, wait until I dismember you and throw you all across Hollywood Boulevard.
I was preparing
okay.
you.
I was... I needed to make sure that there was no excess skin before I devoured you with my teeth. Okay, so anyway, so I roll over, and I think he looks like Babar because there's this mask on his face, and then there's this hose, and the hose goes from the middle of his face into some contraption on the other side of the bed. And I'm like, holy shit, I don't even know what this was. And I'm like, and I roll back over.
Because you've never seen a machine like that, a sleep apnea machine?
That's exactly what it was. Because I didn't know. So I'm like, oh my God. Like, what if this guy needs oxygen at night? Which apparently he does. But I'm like, what if he's dead? I'm like, another dead scenario.
What
How
if
do you
he's
explain
dead?
This
one? I keep trying to kill this guy and he just won't fucking die.
So, like, a couple minutes later, I hear a click and no more. So he's tucked it. Now he's taken off the apparatus and he's, like, tucked it away back into where it goes. And he starts rubbing my back like a cat. Like, he's just rubbing my back. And I turn over and I go, hi. He's like, hello. Good morning. How are you?
What time was it?
7:30, 8 o'clock.
Ugh.
He goes, I was wondering if I could make you breakfast. I've got eggs and orange
nope,
juice.
Gotta go. Thanks.
And yeah. And I'm like, oh, thanks. And he goes, I was really hoping that we could just spend the whole day together. I go, oh, you know what?
You're so
dude,
mean.
You're so nice, and I really appreciate that. But I've got a call with my accountant, and then I have a yoga class, or I think I said like an exercise class to go to. I go, you don't get a body like this without working hard. And he's like, oh, I understand. That's okay. And I'm like Pepe Le Pew and the cat. I'm like slinking out of the bed, and I've got the robe on, and I'm like just grabbing my clothes off the floor, and I'm going into the bathroom, and I'm putting everything
so
back on.
Terrifying.
Now let's remember that when I walked into the building, it's a building I've never been in, and a car garage underneath that I don't even know where it is. I don't even know. I woke up a little bit earlier, like 5, and thought that I could sneak out. I wouldn't even know where to go to get my car. Like, I had no choice but to wait.
You actually had the thought that you were going to sneak out on this guy.
Oh, God, yeah. Absolutely. But I realized when this must have been, so I fell asleep, I woke up, and then I fell back asleep. But when I woke up, I'm like, I can just make a mad dash and get out of here. And then I'm like, you don't even know how to get to your car. Like, in the elevator, I don't even know what button I would push to find my car, let alone where it was. So I get up, and he's like, I understand. And he's like, can I call you? And I was like, nah, you know, and then I like pity gave him my phone number, and I'm like, oh, that's such a big mistake. But I couldn't like, So I'm like, I don't know where my car is. Can you please show me? So he gets in the elevator with me, and the same guy's at the concierge desk because he's pulled the overnight, right? And he's, and this guy has the biggest grin on his face as we're walking past because he's walking me out, and he's looking at the dude going, look what I did last night, you know, or whatever. So he gets me to my car. I drive away. I still think I'm a little buzzed on some level because this whole thing is just crazy. And I immediately call my friend. I'm like, oh, my God, you will never believe what happened. So I get home. Like 2 days later, I get a call from the guy, from the dude. He's like, I had such a nice time. And he had told me that he had a girlfriend, but that she lived in the other part of the country and that she was taking care of her sick mother and he never saw her. And it was just like, ugh. And I had told him I did the boyfriend thing, but the breakup boyfriend. So when we got to his apartment, I had told him that I had just broken up with somebody. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a couple, because you got to have a way to back out. So when he called me a couple days later, he's like,
we just got back together yesterday. I'm so sorry.
Yep. That's exactly.
Is it?
Yep. That's exactly what
You're
I did.
Awful. That's so awful.
I didn't want to. You know what I mean?
We reconciled. Oh, you did. Oh, okay. Well, good luck to you guys. I hope you're really happy.
Yep. That was it. So then I never saw him again.
And we never heard from him again.
No, I never heard from him again. There are a couple people who know the identity of this person. And I really don't tell it to too many people because he's such a nice guy. And I've told such a crazy story. Yeah, so some people see the movie like you and they just start laughing. And, you know, even when I see the movie, I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
oh no. Yeah.
Because just so, when you see him, even in the movie, even in that particular movie, when you see him, you just see his face and all, he's just like, all you see is puppy dog, sad puppy.
So if you knew who it was when I tell the story, it makes it even funnier because then you start getting the visual picture. But that was my first foray into sleep apnea. I didn't know really what it was. That literally this guy had to have that mask on or he could possibly suffocate. And then I'm like, what if this guy didn't even wear the mask? Again, that would be the couch fell on him and then I would wake up and
he'd be asphyxiated. And then you woke up with him dead. Yeah, then the cops would be because like, wait, he's got signs of struggle and...
Weren't we just here at 3 o'clock with the couch? Now we're back and he's dead this time? What?
You're like, fuck, lady. When you really put your mind to something.
Well, I couldn't get it done the first time. Now you got to bring us back. Now he's really dead. Anyway, that's just one of my experiences.
Yeah.
And look, we've already, we've worked this hour to the bone.
I know. And we had, I know, that was a struggle, man. And we had other crazy dating stories. I gotta skip town. I'm going out of town this weekend. I'm going to
I'm so jealous.
And it was one of those crazy, like the stars all aligned. I was up for some acting jobs that kind of fell through. And my backup was that my girlfriend offered me a free trip to Hawaii. So fuck it.
Too bad. Yeah, that's really awful. I'm so sorry for that experience.
It's awful. So
listen, have a great time.
Yeah, I'm gonna have a blast. And we will report back next week.
Yeah, we got a couple of things. Now we really have to start getting some of these products and doing some of the shit we said we were going to do.
We will. I'm going to order the one, Bri, I swear. I promise. So,
and I'll order the Squatty Potty.
You order the Squatty Potty.
Yours is way much more fun. Hey,
you get to go to the stripper class too. So that's fun too. So you go to stripper class, you order the shitter. I'll order the suck on my titty bra. And we're going to give a big shout out to the Handcuffs again because we love them for their music. They rock.
www.thehandcuffs.com. You guys, thanks again for listening to us and our crazy, wacky adventures. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
Bye. I need someone who's clean with a dirty mind.